Thank you for joining us at the First Baptist Church of Colerain, Massachusetts. Today, Pastor Jim is continuing his series in 2 Corinthians. It is our prayer that this message will encourage the believer and bring the unbeliever closer to a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome again this morning. We're moving on to the fourth chapter in 2 Corinthians. And I'll be reading the entire chapter, which is 18 verses. And if you're using the Pew Bibles, you can see that that starts on page 1797. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception. Nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. It is written, "I believed, therefore I have spoken." With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you in his presence. All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts this morning.
Thank you, Rick. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Welcome. I'm going to try to cover the whole chapter today. Paul, the Apostle Paul, minister of the gospel, he acknowledges that all that he was, all that he had become, that he ever hoped to be, was all because of God's mercy, obtained by receiving faith in Jesus Christ. He says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. In other words, we do not be discouraged. And because of God's mercy, where would we be? Amen. Where would we be without God's mercy? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we want to thank you so much for being here. Thank you for this place that we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and be led and guided by your Holy Spirit. So we need your help each and every day, and also this morning as we look into this chapter inspired by your Holy Spirit. So speak to us, we pray. Let us not be distracted by anything that may be on our minds or a burden. You tell us to cast our cares upon you because you care for us. So, Lord, give us understanding of your word this morning and teach us, we pray. Amen. Paul had his critics, like we all do. He had his enemies, but they couldn't argue with the fact that he was an honest, faithful minister, saved from a shameful lifestyle that he once lived. But God changed him and made him a minister to present the truth of the gospel to men's consciences. Not for money, not for any other reason other than what God had called him to do. And that was to present the truth of the gospel to men's consciences. Verse 2, rather we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3 emphasizes the importance of the gospel message, that it sheds light on the purpose why Jesus lived, why he died, why he rose again from the dead. Because without a clear understanding of who Jesus is, people remain spiritually ignorant, in darkness, and in bondage to the devil, who controls their minds. Be careful what comes into your mind. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you think. Be careful what you say. Because the devil can control our minds, and it certainly does for those that are unbelievers, because he's the god of this world. And it tells us in verse 3 that even if our gospel is veiled or hid, if the gospel is hid, it is veiled to those who are perishing. He's not talking about people that are just dying physically. He's talking about people that are dying spiritually. They're already spiritually dead because they've never been born again. Why? Because they haven't heard the gospel. If they have heard the gospel, they haven't received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. They are deceived. Their minds are controlled by the god of this world, the devil. Verse 4, the god of this age, or god of this world, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that's displayed the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. It's only when you receive Jesus that you receive the light. Amen? But the Bible says that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil, because they don't want to come to the light, you see, because they love sin so much. They're not willing to change. Amen? And now, Paul talks about us. He refers to us, the church, as jars of clay. You ever been called a jar of clay? Now we learn in verse 7, even though we live in this mortal body, which we do, we have living within us, if you're a believer, a true born-again believer, we have within us the mighty power of God. You realize that? You ever think about that? We have the mighty power of God living within us. Who's that? The Holy Spirit. Paul refers to it as a treasure. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We don't have any power. We don't have any spiritual power apart from receiving Christ as our Savior. Once you receive Him, you receive the Holy Spirit. We're all jars of clay, spiritually speaking, physically speaking. When we're 20, some of you, not all of you are there yet, we have all the energy in the world, energy to burn and strength to match. But as we get older, some of us can testify that our bodies slow down and deteriorate, start getting aches and pains, and things start to deteriorate. Amen. Everyone's going, yeah, I'm there now, you know. You should start out with a 7-pack, and I'm not talking about beer. Used to have a 7-pack, now we've got a 1-pack that's hanging over our belt, you know. I heard a story. I've just been to a pastor's conference this week at Word of Life, and it's a true story of this elderly lady, and she just brought a brand new Cadillac, beautiful car, brand new, and she was going very easy with it because she wasn't used to it. So she decides to go out and do her shopping. And just as about, she's real wary about pulling in because you've got cars parked either side of the parking space that she wanted to go in. So she's going very gingerly. And then a young pup pulls in with his sports car right in the space where she was going to drive in, ignoring her completely, trying to beat her to it. And he got in before her and you go, ha ha. And then he beep, beep, locks the car up and goes over to her window and says, oh, to be young and fast. And he walks off. And then she was so incensed by this. She got behind the wheel. She put the foot on the gas and drove right into his car, smashed right into it. This is a true story. And he's absolutely dumbfounded, you know, what on earth is this crazy woman doing? What has she done to my car? And then he comes over and starts shouting at her, and she goes, oh, to be old and rich. So, oh, to be old and rich. I don't know what happened after that. Didn't hear the rest of the story. So, our bodies may be wearing out, which they are, but within us we have spiritual life that encourages us and invigorates us because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Outwardly, Paul says, we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Verse 16, we are jars of clay. From dust we are made, and to dust we will return. Have you ever heard that? You've ever been to any graveside service? Ashes to ashes, and dust to dust. That's who we are. That's what we're made from. That's what we will return to, the dust. Our physical, mortal bodies are fading away. We are earthen. We're earthenware. We're clay. We're crackpots. By nature, yes. And fragile, aren't we fragile? We chip sometimes, and sometimes we break under the pressures of life. But Paul says, and he says it twice, he says it in verse 1 and also verse 17, even though we've got those things that are pressing on us and the pressures of life, he says, we do not lose heart. When we were missionaries in Papua New Guinea, that a couple of our co-workers were from North Korea. Hock Chong, his name was. Hock Chong. I don't know, he was a pastor, missionary. And he didn't speak very good English, but he'd say, "Jim, do not lose your heart. Do not lose your heart." I thought, okay, I'll try not to. Do not lose heart. In other words, don't get discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Got a great future. Now, we often think of that description of believers being jars of clay. It's not a very nice, particularly nice or good description. But contained within our mortal bodies is the power of God. Think about that. We have this treasure within these mortal bodies that enables us not only to get saved from our sins through Christ, but also to run the Christian race to the end. Don't throw the towel in. Don't give up. We're all going to finish that race one day. We're all going to cross that line, the finishing line, one day. It's the treasure that we have now because of the cross, what Jesus accomplished on that cross. We deserve to hang on that cross because of our sins, amen? But instead, Jesus willingly volunteered to be our substitute and sacrificed himself on that cross for us. Who would do that for us? So don't ever say that, well, I'm just an ordinary person. I'm insignificant. I don't matter. Well, you matter to God. You matter so much to God that he loved you enough to die for you. God doesn't see you as ordinary. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son to suffer and die in your place so that you wouldn't have to die spiritually. There's no such thing as an ordinary believer. And the Bible is filled with so-called ordinary people. But those who knew an extraordinary God. Amen. Moses, some examples for you. A man who stuttered. Once he was a murderer, lived most of his life in obscurity, yet God chose him to lead the people of Israel out of captivity. They're in the captivity, in bondage, in slavery for 400 years. He chose Moses to do that, an ordinary man. And he revealed to him the Ten Commandments, which we learned something about last week. What about David? Just a simple little shepherd boy from Israel who became a king. It's amazing what God can do in the life of people if we allow him to. What about him? Well, he was an adulterer, we know that. Man who lied. Man who murdered people. You look at his life, and we do that in the adult Sunday school. A man who killed men, women, and children. This is David we're talking about. Yet, and he was a very poor father. But look what God did in his life. Yet, he was still a man after God's own heart. The prophet Jeremiah. The weeping prophet, they call him. Felt he was too young. Abraham and Sarah thought they were too old. Isaiah was a man of unclean lips. And the list goes on and on and on and on. These were ordinary people who knew an extraordinary God. What about the apostles, the disciples? Peter denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. He denied his Savior three times. Thomas doubted. You heard that saying? Doubting Thomas. James and John needed anger management. Various times all of Jesus' disciples lacked faith. Do you lack faith sometimes? But he keeps us faithful, doesn't he? Amen. When Jesus was arrested, all his disciples scattered like scared rabbits. After his crucifixion, they were so afraid that they all hid themselves in an upper room with the door locked. These people were not elite and well-trained theologians. They were nobodies. But look at what God did in their lives. He made them somebodies. We're somebody in God's eyes. Amen? You're a somebody in God's eyes. You're not insignificant. Why? Because of our faith in the Lord. And we're on our way to heaven. Verse 13 says, since we have the same spirit of faith, talking about the Holy Spirit, we also believe and therefore speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you to himself. And only believers will see the Lord. You can look at any era in history and find people who, in spite of their background or difficulties, had the power in them to live the new life and run the Christian life well to the end. Did they have doubts? Of course they did. Did they have problems? Yes. Did they suffer? Yes, they did. Did they have infirmities? Yes. But even though their mortal bodies were dying, they imparted life to dead souls through the preaching of the gospel. This is what Paul is talking about as ministers. Did they question their own ability or the sufficiency of their faith? Absolutely. Did they think about giving up? Probably. And it's easier to quit, isn't it? But only cowards quit. Amen? It's only cowards that give up. The most important thing that we need to understand is that we have nothing. We are nothing. We deserve nothing. We contribute nothing. We succeed in nothing except by the grace of Almighty God. Verse 15, all this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. We give God all the praise and all the glory for what he has done and what he is doing and what he will do. To God be the glory. Great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. I'm not going to finish the rest of it. As a church, and we are the church, it's not just a building. It's easier to focus on what we don't have. We don't have enough money. Not enough youth. Not enough small groups. Not enough musicians. Not enough outreach. Not enough space. Not enough variety. Not enough this and not enough that. Let's just focus and thank God for what we do have. Amen? What we do have. Thank God for it. We're just jars of clay. Chipped and flawed, yet made valuable to God because we are his blood-bought children. We are in his hands. Remember that old song? He's got the whole world in his hands. Well, he's got us in his hands. Those hands that were pierced with those spikes that were nailed on that cross. regardless of the circumstances of life, we're in his hands. You're in his hands. Amen. And he'll take us to glory one day. Regardless of what we suffer in this world. Verse 17, for our light, he says, our light and momentary troubles, they're temporary, they're momentary. They're not going to be permanent. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. What a day that will be. Life is short, and you won't have to suffer for long. In the meantime, what are we to do? Verse 18 tells us, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. See, that's what faith is. It's believing what you can't see with the physical eyes. Fix our eyes on not what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary. Everything we see around us, and each one we look at, we're all temporary, not going to be here for long. You're going to miss me when I'm gone. Well, some might. But what is unseen is eternal. What is unseen is eternal. Now, this is important, especially if you're not a believer listening to this message. The souls of mankind, men, women, children, the soul is who you are. The soul is the real you. And that soul doesn't die when our mortal body dies. It either goes to heaven to be with the Lord, or it goes to hell where the unbelievers live for all eternity. The soul is eternal. So the only hope of life after death is for you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior by believing faith in what he did for you on the cross that you couldn't do for yourself. You couldn't pay the penalty for your sins because we're not good enough. There was only one good enough who was without sin, and his name is Jesus. And through him, and only through him, you can obtain everlasting life, eternal life. What is unseen is eternal. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So the more you hear the word of God, the more faith you'll receive. So when people choose, and they make a choice, not to believe the gospel message, which is that Jesus died for them, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, and he's alive. If they refuse not to believe that and receive him as personal Savior, when they hear the gospel message, or there's people that don't have the opportunity to hear the gospel message, to hear the good news, to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, all those will perish without God, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And people that don't hear the gospel message will die in their sins because they've never been saved from their sins. And this is why the Apostle Paul and others like him and all ministers today, and what they did and what we do, they do is what they're called to do, regardless of the circumstances. And they suffered, didn't they? Adverse circumstances, the pain and the suffering, the opposition. But he was prepared to do that and go through that, and so were the other disciples, because they loved Jesus Christ. In verse 5, for what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. The gospel message is the greatest and the most important message the world has ever known. And it has to be preached. And the message hasn't changed in 2,000 years, and it never will, because God hasn't changed. The message is the same. Jesus saves. Amen? That's the message. Jesus saves. And I'll close by quoting verse 6. We'll go back a bit. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. So only Jesus can reveal the light because he is the light. Let light shine out of darkness. May his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory. How? Displayed in the face of Jesus Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we're so thankful to be here. What a privilege it is. There's other places we could be, but this is the best possible place. And I pray that you will honor these people for their faithfulness to want to learn, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of you. And we have so much to learn, and you're so patient and long-suffering with us, even when we stumble and we're flawed human beings and we don't measure up. Your love doesn't alter one little bit. You love us just the way we are. But you desire that we are become more like your Son. And if we yield to your Holy Spirit and walk with you and be led by you, then we know that we will be transformed and one day we'll be like you, when we meet you in glory. Thank you for revealing the truth, because you're merciful, you're compassionate, you're so kind and loving and benevolent and gracious, and you love us because we are part of your family now. And help us to share our faith with others that are willing to listen. But we know that you are building your church, and you will build your church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. We're on the glory road, and we can never perish, because we believe your promises, and every word is true, and amen. Father, I pray for somebody maybe listening to this message. They know the way now. If they've never heard it before, maybe they've heard it before, but they've never humbled themselves to receive you as their personal Savior. May they bow their hearts and humble themselves and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you are the Savior. I know you know the way I've lived, and I'm sorry that I've just lived for myself, but I want you to save my soul. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, and I know that you showed me the way, that you died for me on that cross, take away my sins, and you were buried, and I truly believe that you rose again from the dead and you are alive and you're able to save me. And I ask you that you would do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you again for tuning in. If you enjoyed this message, we'd love if you would join us at the First Baptist Church in Coleraine for Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. We are located at 79 Foundry Village Road in Coleraine, Massachusetts. Hope to see you soon. God bless.